We can't expect our employees to have the same commitment and passion for our business as we do. Anxiety builds, frustration builds, and then you got two people in a room, one's really anxious, one's really frustrated.
Hey, Larissa here from the Salon Owners Collective podcast, and today's episode, it's a juicy one, especially if you've ever tried to avoid the having those hard conversations with the people in your salon. So today, joining me, Dee Lang, counsellor, life coach, who's made a career of helping people get unstuck. So we're going to dive deep into why salon owners often get caught in a loop of inaction, even when they know exactly what to do. So if leading your team feels heavy, or if you've been avoiding that conversation, you know the one, or if you find yourself stuck in a cycle of fear, overwhelm, self-doubt even, this episode is your permission slip to try something different. Dee shares a completely fresh and empowering perspective on leadership, and she flips the idea of hard conversations on its head, so please stay tuned. Please meet Dee. Hey Dee, welcome to the Salon Owners Collective podcast. I'm super pleased to have you here.
It's great to be here, actually. Thank you.
So I'm really excited about our topic because it's a big problem that every human being needs to solve, I think. But before we do that, who are you, Dee? Where are you in the world? What do you do? And how did you get to be doing that?
Okay, so name is Dee Lang. I'm a counsellor. I'm a professional life coach. I'm an ex-personal trainer. And I live and work in Auckland, New Zealand, I guess I'll say that because I don't know what your audience is. And how did I get to do this? My journey started a very long time ago. I've been intuitively interested in human behavior and understanding people's motivations and decision-making for a very, very long time. So started people watching. We all love to people watch. And I'd say that I took it on to be like Olympic level people watching. And I was always reflecting on why I do things, how I do things, what made me do that thing. Could I do it differently? Why don't I do it differently? So I've been doing that my whole life. And so as a result of that, I accumulated behavioral patterns. So when I was talking to people, I just picked up more and more and more these patterns that we all commonly participate in. And so when I'm talking to people and I say, well, maybe you could try this different thing, and they'll be like, oh, that's amazing. And I was like, it's not really. It's just about understanding yourself and that there are other options available if you do enough reflecting. And so I did more and more of that. And I love supporting people in their moments of feeling stuck, their moments of feeling there's no opportunity, no options, no way out. And just a little bit of unpicking and a little bit of, well, why not? And then doors open and just the people's faces, just that unstuck feeling, unraveling, it's very rewarding. So I thought, well, let's get paid to do this. So here I am.
I love that. And you were a personal trainer prior to that?
I was, yeah. That's how I actually got into counseling, because I was a personal trainer for a long time. I decided I'd counted to 12 enough times in one day for a lifetime. So I thought I need to step up my... I need something more stimulating. I need something more study, more complex. So I thought, I should become a dietitian. That's a nice, a nice attachment to personal training. So I started researching dietetic courses or dietetic bachelors. And then I thought to myself, I probably should do some counseling papers as well, because I'm pretty sure that nutrition and health and goes hand in hand with a little bit of lifestyle choices. So I started researching counseling papers, and that's when the light bulb hit me. And I was like, I do this already. I might as well do this professionally. So that's how I started. And I went back to uni, completed my graduate diploma in Australia, actually, and then moved back to New Zealand and I hit the ground running from there.
I love that. I feel it's very in alignment with what we do with business coaching. And the coaching part, we're a hybrid program, so coaching is a part of that. And what we discover is people often get stuck, or where they can't implement the strategies that are proven to work. Like if you just did this, your life could change. And where we get stuck, or where we get stuck with coaching people through the change process, is when they get stuck. And I feel like this is where in comes D to change life, make life, big life decisions, is that the decision, they're clear that the strategy would work, or it's worked for other people, so it could work for them. And they're clear on what they need to do to get from where they are now to where they need to be. But you said something really powerful before we pushed play. It was like, they don't want to. Like, they don't want to do the thing or become the person or make the shift, because I'm sure there are many reasons. You know, there's a high personal cost, or I need to change who I am, or I have to work really hard, or I'm sure there's a list of questions or reasons why people don't choose to make the shift, even though they know that life could be different on the other end. And so I'm excited to unpack that with you today. Before we go into sort of specifics of, you know, leading a team and salon, because I feel like that's the most common, I'm stuck, that's too hard, I have to change who I am and I don't want to. What are the most common reasons that people don't move from stuck into action?
The most common is they can't imagine it, they can't visualize it, they've got nothing to compare it to, so it feels foreign and it feels like trying to catch air. It's like, I can't imagine what that feels like, so maybe it doesn't exist. Self-doubt, you know, like there's this mountain of things that I've got to do. I've made a mountain of the tasks that are ahead of me. I've made it into a mountain and I just cannot see myself climbing it. What happens if I'm really successful? What happens then? What am I going to do with all that comes with this success of, and then what? And am I, you know, am I going to be criticized? It's self-sabotage, really. It's I'm going to get there, I'm not going to like it, you know? And so it's a lot of things. And I think at the end of the day, it feels too big. It feels too big. I can't do that. It's not possible. What if I do it and I fail? What if I get sick? And the catastrophizing starts up, you know? And so then it becomes a case of, well, I've got this far. It's not that bad. I'm safe enough. I'm comfortable. This'll do, you know? And until you get back to that, maybe I could do more. I looked into it before. Maybe I got to look into it again. Maybe I just get a little bit more encouragement from someone else, and then they get pumped up again, and then back come all the fears and all the catastrophizations, and back you go. And that's the stuck.
This is so true. It's kind of like one step forward, two steps back, or two steps forward, one step back, and or five steps back. I can see that lots of people, and I have certainly done that in my own life, get stuck in that cycle.
Sorry to interrupt you. I just had this vision in my mind of Star Wars, you know, when they're in the garbage compactor.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, until you just finally have to get out or do something different. Yeah. All right, well, let's talk about that specifically when it comes to running a hair or beauty business, because I feel like the most common one is getting stuck behind staff that need hard conversations, or they know are bad for the business, either culturally or performance-wise, and stay in the garbage constrictor for too long until the space is too tight. And for some people, it's do or die. Like, it brings the business down. And I think that's probably the most common stuck, when they're really clear what they have to do, but they don't want to do it, when it comes to hard conversations with team members. What are your thoughts on that?
So first of all, I would want to say you want to be really organized in terms of setting a precedence right, you know, very early. So when you're bringing on people, you want them to understand your culture, understand your expectations, have a negotiation and an agreement on what that looks like collaboratively. Find out early if somebody has different values or different morals or different ways of doing things. Find out how they like to resolve conflict or how they like to manage conflict. That's a really important conversation to have, because if somebody avoids it, that's a problem. So if they do avoid conflict, you want to have a process in order for those people specifically where conflict can be talked about openly, healthily, vulnerably, and it's not a big deal, because to them, they're already coming into the business with it being a big deal. So you want to let them know it's not a big deal in this business. We're okay. We deal with this. We deal with it well. We deal with it effectively. People who love conflict or don't mind dealing with conflict, maybe a little too much or overboard, you want to have a process around them as well and have a very clear understanding. This is the way we do it here. If that's going to be something you're going to struggle with, then what are your thoughts on that? Just a really collaborative approach around how, you know, because you've got all of these different personalities working 10, 12 hours a day together in some way, shape, or form. And none of us really know each other that well, even if you've worked together for 10 years. So there's always going to be stuff that comes up. So it's about conflict management, making sure that is something that's established from the very get-go, so that everybody has a clear understanding. We don't avoid conflict here. We address issues early. We collaborate with you. We're having a conversation in agreement. There's no power imbalance here. That we're just two people having a conversation about our differences and how we're going to resolve it. So that would be the first thing.
Totally. I totally agree. Like, get in front of it, not behind it. What about for those listeners that are already in it, haven't set the expectations at the beginning, and now is, you know, stuck with somebody who's not where they should be? Like, where do you start when you're already in it?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is it's never too late. So work out what your conflict management policy is going to be, and make sure that's thorough and get it checked and collaborate with someone on designing and developing that. And then you want to orient everybody to it initially. So you want to say everybody, right, this is how we're doing things from now on. Does anybody want to add anything or subtract anything? Or let's have a director's board of directors conversation about how we're all going to, you know, put this together.
I like that, a bit of co-creation, like bringing them into the process.
Absolutely. You have to, because everybody knows their personality the best. Nobody knows them better than they do. So we know what we're going to come up against when we listen to a policy and we go, I don't like that. So we want to know about that as business owners. We want to know, okay, what's the other option for you? You know, and you negotiate. We're not going to say, okay, I'm going to completely wipe that out because you don't like it, and I'm going to put in your suggestion. We negotiate. You sacrifice a little bit, I'll sacrifice a little bit. We've got an agreement. So we want to be really flexible, and we just want to be creative about that and let people know I'm flexible, but I'm not going to bend over backwards because I've got a business to run, you know? So it needs to be general agreement here. I don't need every single person to be, it doesn't have to be unanimous. We're not on trial. And so then.
Amen.
and then you want to take the person who you're actually having a situation with. Then you want to deal with that specifically once the salon is oriented, first of all, to the conflict management process, because then they're already aware, okay, that's my expectation. This is what is expected of me. So I already know what process is going to happen. Before you meet with that person, you want to establish what is the situation, not what is the situation socially, word of mouth, third hand, what are the facts of the situation? So if a person's been late 15 days a month and you want to know what days they were, how many minutes they were late, this isn't telling tales. This is collecting facts. I'm not going to listen to Susan who said you were 30 minutes late, but actually on that day you were 15 minutes late. I want the facts. I want to know information that cannot be disputed, that cannot be argued about. That's a waste of time. So only manage the facts of a situation. And then you to speak to somebody in a situation like that, you have to be understanding that they perceive a power imbalance, first of all. So they're already anxious. They already feel like they're at the principal's office, or that they're in front of mum or dad and they're going to get a scolding. They already come with that feeling inside.
I think we forget that. Do you know, like, we just, as a leader, you can often go, well, they're the bad person. And so, but they actually have this bias already when they arrive.
They do. They feel ashamed. They feel humiliated. They feel ashamed. They feel embarrassed, regretful, remorseful. All of that comes bundled in them. And a lot of people react differently to that feeling. Some people cry. They shut down. Some people get really cold and withdraw. Others come out of the gate at you. So you've got to be prepared to just know that these different parts of people are going to show up. You may never have seen them before. So just be really open and flexible to that for their process, what they're going through. It's hard enough, because I think that's the hardest thing for leaders to deal with, is how they react. You know, like,
yeah, and then we react to their react, and then everyone's reacting to the reactions, and no wonder it's hard.
That's exactly right. So let me just go back. So you want to have all your ducks in a line. You want to know exactly what you're going to be talking about, so the conversation doesn't get derailed. You want to stay on point. You've got to have your facts in front of you, and then your facts get put to the side. We're not talking about those straight away. The first thing you want to do is connect, and you want to say, "Hey, I get this could be a really difficult conversation. I don't know. Maybe it won't be for you. I'm not sure, but I just want you to know that we're going to do this together." So there's a collaboration right from the get-go. It's just like, hey, this is about the business. This isn't about you personally. I've got stuff that needs doing. I've got moving parts all over the place. And this is just there's a little kink in this bit that I just want us to iron out together. And so then you want them to feel like they're not going to get a scolding, but that you're actually there to collaborate, brainstorm, you're think tanking this issue together because you're both a part of it. And so then you might want to raise, okay, so we've talked about this in the past. We've got to just, you know, let's see if we can sort this out once and for all. So let's use the late example. Is that a good example? Let's use that one. So we've talked before about, you know, being to work on time. And I just want to clarify, are you aware of that expectation? You know, so when, I don't want to be condescending, but I do want to clearly understand where you're at, because I don't know what's going on in your life. I'm not sure. Have you made an arrangement with someone else? Has there been kind of a flexible situation in your past? Blah, blah, blah. So I'm really wanting to find out where they're at and why this is happening for them. I don't want to come in with, well, this is how you're doing it. Why aren't you doing it that way? I want to know, what are the barriers for you to be able to meet the expectation? Because there are clear reasons and good reasons for being here on time. And maybe we need to come up with a system for you where that can happen. And then I'll hand over the microphone and I'll say, let me know what's going on for you. And then I just give them as much space as they need to say whatever they need to say. I'll probably stay quiet for an uncomfortable period of time for them so that they understand that they're not going to hide behind my need to keep talking.
Oh, that's so powerful. Because it's really easy, especially in the industry that we're in, to need to fill space.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because even though we're business leaders, silence can feel awkward. So I've taught myself to be very comfortable with silence. And so in a counseling room, it's so imperative, because otherwise you will skip straight past the subconscious workings, the processes that are going on that are kind of coming to the surface, and then you start talking so they go back down. So I would say to this person, let me know what your situation is and what's happening for you. And that's it. And then I will just be quiet. And if they say, oh, I don't know, I will stay quiet. And if they say, no, I'm not sure, I will say, take your time. Take your time. Because what I'm saying to them is, we're not moving on until you collaborate with me, till you join me in this conversation, till we actually have something we can work with together. And then they will typically become uncomfortable with the silence and start talking. And I will let them talk until they are silent for a long period of time. And then I might say, is there anything else? So it's about that giving space. It's saying, you are in the room with me. I want to hear everything there is that you need to share with me. I'm open to it. I'm listening. While I'm listening, I'm strategizing. I'm not judging. I'm strategizing, thinking empathetically. So, okay, so that person lives an hour away. They sometimes get caught in traffic. There's been some roadworks there. I remember that. Yeah, I know what it's like to be in the car and you're supposed to be there at this time, and then you get caught up unexpectedly and then you start to panic. And then you know what happens when you wish for green lights everywhere? You get every red light, right? So I'm being compassionate, and I'm thinking to myself, yeah, that's happened to me before. I get that. I can feel where this person is at. I know where they're coming from. You know, so and it might be a situation you've never experienced before. It doesn't matter. We all know what it feels like to lack motivation, to lack desire, to feel anxious, to feel resistant. We all know what that feels like. And then on top of that, you've got, okay, I'm late for the 15th time. I am bound to get in trouble at some point. I know someone's going to come after me. So this situation goes from teeny tiny to just massive. And so I want to know, what was the tiny part and how do we resolve that?
And they when it's tiny, before it gets massive.
Well, no, the massive part, it's already massive because it's gone for so long. But the tiny part was, it started one day when they were late and nobody said anything. So the expectation wasn't set. And so then, of course, we've all done it, haven't we? When we're given an inch, we test for the mile, you know? And so then it's a case of, oh, well, I'm stuck in traffic now. It's okay because, you know, Melissa didn't bother last time when I was 50 minutes late. So it'll be all right. So then there becomes this complacency, and that's okay. That happens. We can't expect our employees to have the same commitment and passion for our business as we do. We can't expect them to want to leap out of bed 2 hours before work and strategize and plan and can't wait to get. That's not the job they applied for. So we just want to deal with these natural, normal human responses that we all have and go, okay, let's reset here. The expectation is that you are able to get to work on time, if not before, to give yourself time to set up, to get in with the day, to check who you're dealing with today, see if there's any issues, or I want you to be able to be comfortable when you get to work, not rushed, not hustled, not anxious, not frustrated. I want you to come and be here for that period of time. So what do you think that looks like? And then silence until they're ready to share. You know, I don't need to say much.
Hey, it's me again. I just wanted to interrupt and jump in here quickly to say thanks for listening to the podcast. I really appreciate you being here. Just one question though. If you are listening to this episode and thinking, oh my God, this is me, but I'm just not sure what to do. Well, don't worry. I've got some strategies for you. The Salon Mastery Program will help you develop and implement 100K team, 100K mindset, strategies and steps designed to help you lead your team to enjoy 100K careers and install the 100K mindset and motivation so you can help build that inside of your team. The systems, the processes to master the 100K day so you can build the $1 million salon. So I want to invite you to join me for a complimentary $1 million strategy call. We'll discuss your business, your role in the business. Let's see if I'm the right person to help you grow your business and your team. Together, we can reach the $1 million mark. All you need to do is click the apply now button in the show notes of this very episode. You're welcome to book a time, a strategy call. We'll have a chat. All right, that's enough for me. Let's get back to the episode. Yeah, I feel like this is kind of flipping it from frustration to compassion and, you know, really becoming quite a different leader.
And the reason for that, the reason why you want to be a kind leader, a compassionate leader, is because other people relate more amicably, more socially, more willingly with a person who accepts them unconditionally. So if I go up to one of my employees and I say, okay, this is the fifth time you're late this week. Now, we have talked. Can we get it back in line? You know, so I can have a bit more fun and I can have a bit more joke, bit more. I'm still serious though, you know, but can we come on? And so it's more of it's not a friendship. It's a friend leadership. It's a friend working ship. You know, because we're just humans at the end. We're just humans at the end of the day trying to get our way through a day, and none of us know even half of what we're going through. So being kind to others means being very aware of how you're feeling in the moment when you are talking to other people. If you feel judgmental, you will communicate judgmental. You will communicate judgment, I should say. If you feel judgmental, you will look judgmental. You know, if you feel judgmental, you will sound judgmental. It's consciously, subconsciously, whether the person's aware of it or not. We humans feel like we can hide behind our masks and that nobody will realize that we're judging them. Have you ever missed somebody judging you who's tried to hide judgment from you? No, it's ridiculous. Just, you know, own it. So I tell leaders, you have to manage your own judgment. You have to coach yourself through a process which says, I do not know this person. I have no idea what's going on in their life. I don't know what's causing this issue. It's causing an issue for me. What issue is it causing for them? Let me understand them a little more. And even if I don't understand them, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. And I want to be on board. I want them to be on board with me in just this small area of their life. It's a tiny area in their life. That's all I'm asking. And when you convey that, it doesn't feel like they're being forced, pressured, judged, overlooked, dismissed, minimized, invalidated. It doesn't feel like that. It feels like, okay, they get it, that my life is bigger than this being 15 minutes late for work. You know, this is an issue I can handle. I can work with this. And so you want to be talking about what's going on for you. You don't have to share anything with me, but if you do, let me know, because I want us to work out this out together. You know, I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to make sure you are able to do the things I need you to do the way in which you can get them done.
I like that you've really reframed, you know, like one of the places that people get stuck the most is I'm scared to have a hard conversation. But actually what you've done is flipped it to go, don't have hard conversations, have kind conversations. Like, don't make it hard. Change it, flip it. Like, actually what you've said, Dee, is get out of your own head. This is not about you, and actually just hop into their head and their experience and be a little bit compassionate about them, and then tackle the conversation from that perspective. And then it doesn't feel like a hard conversation.
That's right. If you think it's hard, it's going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. So we should reframe it. Like, don't, as a good leader, don't have hard conversations. Just have kind conversations. And then people want to follow you rather than you have to push them towards doing the things that
absolutely
they need to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's collaboration. So that, right? Yeah. It's like, you bring your personality, I'll bring mine. Let's see what we can produce together.
And there's something about that space that you hold, like it just slows down the conversation in the space, like all the pressure comes off and you're a little bit more relaxed in each other's company. And then you can, there's a good place to solve problems from.
Absolutely. And I'd actually name that, because what you want to do is you want to dispel that power imbalance immediately, because it's only perceived. If you have a perceived power imbalance, you need to dispel that as well. You're not going to get anything out of someone if you put yourself higher than them. And that comes from body language, tone, the choice of words you use, the way in which you feel about that person. If you feel judgment, you've got to get that out of your system before you even enter the room. Because I always say that a conversation will go sideways. It has the potential to go sideways when the first person judges. The first person that judges just lobs a grenade. Now, the other person has a choice. They can step aside and let it swing past their head and have compassion and understanding and, you know, coaching yourself. I don't know this person very well. They don't know me very well. We're just doing the best that we can here with what we know, right? Or they can grab that grenade and they can hit it back. And then you've got an emotional conversation that achieved nothing. So when we stay in this place of non-judgmental, we were accepting these people that are sitting in front of us unconditionally. Even if we're struggling to get along with them, we're still going to care for them, right? They're just different. They do things differently. We don't know why, and we don't have to know why. We just need to understand, how do you need this to work for you? Let me see if I can make that happen. If I give you a little bit of that, can you give me a little bit of this? Okay, cool. We've got an agreement. You know, and you never want, as a leader, to think to you, it's like parenting. You know, you hear parents going like, how many times have I told you this? Well, you have to reminding people, because we have a snapback facility where we snap back to what's comfortable and familiar and automatic. So sometimes that's why you want to have a really good connection with your staff, so that you can just give them gentle reminders without making it a big conversation. You know, it's like, hey, your scissors are over by the shampoo basin again. You know, so it's just a little, you want it to be that kind of communication rather than it building up, stacking up, building up. Anxiety builds, frustration builds. And then you got two people in a room, one's really anxious, one's really frustrated. Now that for
me, not a good combo.
That's a disaster.
That is the avoidance. It's that experience that is why owners want to avoid hard conversations, because you're walking into a frustration and anxious environment. And so we don't have them. And so my takeaway from this really is, like, wherever you're stuck, there's a different way to do it, and be open to finding the new way. so we can get unstuck. And back to that first thing you said with me that really stuck was like, they can't visualize how it could be different. And that's okay, but you need to go and know that there is a different way and discover that. Would that be fair?
Absolutely there is, yeah. And it starts with you. It starts with your approach. It starts with your attitude. It starts with your perception of the situation. If you think it's going to be, if you feel frustrated and resentful and judgmental of a person, that is how you're going to communicate with them. If you come back to a place of self-coaching of, I don't know everything. I don't know what's going on for this person. They're a good person, I'm sure. This is, they're not breaking these rules or going against me out of retaliation or spite. They just don't have the same information that I have. They don't understand why it's so important. Maybe that's a conversation I can have with them, which is, you know, I have these expectations and I have these things for my business for good reasons. Do you know what they might be? Or do you have what's your understanding of that? And they might go, I don't know. And so then I might give them a valuable piece of information about the domino effect, the knock-on effect. You know, well, if you're late, then you're late for the day, and then I've got to ring all your clients, and then they're going to get frustrated. Some of them are going to cancel, and then we're going to lose. It's, you know, so you kind of can step them through that process. You know, you don't want to give them the business plan, but you just want to give them those important nuggets that let them, that, oh, okay, I see, I got you, you know.
So, penny drops.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a process I've never thought of. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
You're a business owner.
Yes.
What is a quote or a mantra or something that keeps you moving forward on the straight and narrow, or, you know, keeps you showing up every day?
My favorite quote of all time is, success is moving from failure to failure without losing your enthusiasm.
Yeah, I love that. That's really good.
We fear failure, but failure is, if you don't fail at something, you can't make it better. You won't develop. Absolutely.
Okay. I love that. What's a book or a podcast or something that you have consumed recently that you think all salon owners should get their hands on?
Listen, it's going to sound a bit left field, but my favorite book, which I've read twice and I'm probably going to read it every year, it's called The Trauma Cleaner. It is a trauma cleaner is a person who cleans up like crime scenes or houses that were previously owned by hoarders and that kind of job. And this is a biography of a transgender trauma cleaner. And this woman is the embodiment of non-judgmental, unconditional acceptance of others, no matter who they are or what they've done in their life or whatever the state of the house they're cleaning up. It's just such a beautiful book. And it's a can't put it down book. That's my perspective. It's just a nice reminder that we can actually go through life without hanging on to judgment of others.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's been a good theme of our discussion today, Dee. I know people are going to want to find you, stalk you. Where can we find you? What's your dub in your socials?
Okay, so my website is Life Therapy, so LIFE, therapies, which is therapy plural, .co.nz. And I think it's all same on, I don't really do my Instagram, but my website's there. It's got everything you need to know about me. It's my book of life. Yeah.
It's been very insightful. It's been some great takeaways today. I really appreciate this conversation that we've had. And so thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for listening and thanks for having me. It's been fun. It's been nice to share with business owners how they can bring their brood together and be on the same page. It works. Just try it, honestly. Prove me wrong.
Thanks, Dee.
My pleasure. Bye for now.
What if leadership didn't have to be hard? What if the path to change started with kindness instead of confrontation? If this episode resonated and you're tired of feeling stuck, avoiding action, or unsure how to lead your team effectively, well, let's talk. You are very welcome to book a free strategy call with me and we'll create a personalized strategy game plan to take you out of overwhelm and back into momentum. If you don't need to don't do it alone. Let's map out how you can grow to $1 million salon and see if Salon Mastery is the right fit for you, the right support to help you grow to your next chapter. All you need to do is book a call. Look forward to meeting you. The link is in the show notes of this episode. Otherwise, you can just DM Salon Owners Collective on Insta, Facebook, or you can find me. Any DM will do. And otherwise, same time, same place next week on the podcast. Ciao for now.